Welcome back. Junkies come to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 in the DMV, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. We are streaming live on the Odyssey app, and you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network, presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junks. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, just visit cropmetcalf.com to join their team. We'll talk to the head coach of the Washington Commanders, Dan Quinn, in 15 minutes, but time now to hit the skins, brought to you by Don't Sleep Energy. Need to hit skins right now? Grab a Don't Sleep Energy shot. Need to stay ready all day just in case? Sip on a refreshing 12-ounce can. You can grab both right now at don'tsleepenergy.com. Use the promo code JUNKIES for 10% off. And remember, don't sleep makes you great.
All right, guys. We talked about it earlier, but if you're just getting in your car, maybe you weren't paying attention, busy with the kids, whatever. Dan Quinn made it official yesterday when he named Jaden Daniels the starter for week one.
He went through the whole thing. He didn't miss a beat, hit the targets that, you know, we had put in front of him. You know, we talked about the practices against the other teams, the games. So he's ready and he's earned the right to do that.
He also was asked what he's learned from Jaden that indicated that now was the time that he is ready to go.
I think the practice before we left to go down to Miami was the best one I had seen from him on the Tuesday prior to us leaving that Wednesday. The command of it, the accuracy, the details of it, that was one of the best practices I'd seen him have, was the best practice I had seen him have. And so I think that was more in line with, you know, who he is, what he does, the checks, the calls, the communication, the delivery of the ball. He was just really on point. So it was just cool to see all of that, you know, come to life.
He was also asked about any surprises about Jaden's development this summer.
It didn't surprise me. We knew we would get here, but we were just excited to see how we would. And so seeing him hit all the spots, this is a rare competitor. And those are the things that I knew about him, but seeing it in your own building, on your own team, you know, around new teammates, that was cool to see. And so he's just, you know, had a remarkable start to things here. He's earned the respect of teammates and coaches and people inside of the building. And he's very, you know, thankful to be part of a, you know, group that, you know, with the quarterback and the coaches and, you know, helping him get ready. That's a big deal, too.
I got to tell you how refreshing it is that he's not a me guy, you know? Like, we've had a couple of them here, over, you know, that are just all about themselves.
Yeah, he's
not a me guy at all. He's a chill
dude. He's a team
guy. The guys all love him.
Yep.
I mean, it's like exactly what – and he's a leader. It's exactly what you want. Literally, I don't know where this kid's flaws are. I guess he's a little skinny. I'm trying to figure out what he stinks at.
The comforting thing, I think, for Commanders fans is this guy's going to be the quarterback for a while.
Let's hope.
And it's gone viral. People have talked about it. We've talked about it for years. 2017, Kirk Cousins was the week one starter. 2018, it was Alex Smith. 2019, it was Case Keenum. 2020, it was Dwayne Haskins. 2021, it was Fitzpatrick. Then it was Carson Wentz. Last year, it was Sam Howell. And this year, it's Jaden Daniels.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be Jaden Daniels for several years.
Well, let's hope.
Yeah, you would hope.
I think so, barring injury. I think injury is the only thing that's going to disrupt him, if anything does.
I mean, that's why a team doesn't win. When you have a different quarterback every year,
of course,
you're very unlikely to win.
Correct.
Well, especially when you mentioned are fairly mediocre.
That's hard to do. It's hard to have a different starting quarterback.
I've already forgotten the Case Keenum
seven
era.
Straight
Find
years.
Find another team that's had a different starting quarterback in week one for eight seasons.
Yeah.
All right. No, it's hard.
That's probably hadn't happened.
But anyway, we'll have DQ on in about 10 minutes, so we'll ask him a lot more about all that and other positions, of course. Just to do a little roster maintenance, the Commanders, I guess they waived Bo Bauer, or I'm not sure if it was an injury settlement or whatever. But they signed Lamar Jackson. Now, Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson, Is that right? Or no, I'm wrong. They signed Justin Hollins. Lamar Jackson was released by Denver. Sorry. Justin Hollins, 6'5", 248 pounds, fifth-round pick from Oregon. The Denver picked in 2019, played a little bit with the Rams. Looks like he had a stint with Green Bay, with the Giants, maybe the Chargers. So he's kind of been around, played with five different teams. Could just be a temporary thing, be here for a week, who knows? But they signed Justin Hollins. They list him as a defensive end. Some have called him a linebacker, but 6'5", 248.
Most recently with the Clippers? The Chargers?
Chargers, I think so.
The Clippers. Yeah. The Chargers. I mean, again, they're going to make the big cut down next Tuesday. So that's the way they do it. They used to do it a little differently where they gradually started to make cuts, but now they just do one big cut.
Right, so next Wednesday morning, we're going to be looking at all the kickers that were cut.
Yeah.
And I'm sure maybe they will have already picked somebody up, because I got to believe that is the number one thing Adam Peters is looking to do post-roster cutdown.
Yeah.
Find a kicker.
Yeah.
And, of course.
And to that end, nine teams are currently carrying at least two kickers. The Packers currently have three.
All right.
Okay.
Who are they? Anybody good?
Let me see. They have Greg Joseph and then Anders Carlson or undrafted free agent Alex Hale. None of those names jump out at you.
I feel like Carlson. I don't know about Anders Carlson. Wasn't there another Carlson that was with the Raiders?
Possibly.
Yes.
The Browns.
There's two brothers that are kickers.
Yes. Is that what it is? The Browns have Cade York.
Carlson.
And Dustin Hopkins. The Jets have Austin Siebert behind Greg Zuerlein. Joey Sly is competing with Chad Ryland with the Patriots. And I believe, if this is accurate, Randy Bullock and Brett Maher are veterans who you've heard of who remain unsigned.
Chad Ryland was a fourth-round pick. I mean, they drafted him pretty high last year.
Right, but so I don't think he was very good last year.
Maybe not, and that's why they brought in Sly, but eventually.
But one of those guys, maybe the.
So maybe Sly comes back.
Carlson for the Packers, he's the Nubs Carlson. He was 27 for 33 last year, but he missed five extra points.
It's brutal. I hate it.
Well, look, whoever you're getting, I mean, he ain't great.
Right.
Because it's going to be a guy who's cut.
Riley Patterson level.
Right. It's going to be a guy who was cut from another team.
Yeah.
So it's probably going to be an issue for the entire year, but we'll see what they do. I mean, maybe Riley has a good week of practice and kicks well on Sunday, and they end up keeping him.
So I think this is crazy, but Greg Rosenthal, do you know him, Greg Rosenthal?
Yeah, sure, as a reporter.
Yeah, as a reporter. I guess he still thinks that Jahan Dotson potentially could be let go by Washington.
That'd be a stunner.
I think that would be a stunner. Now, there is a logjam at receiver, for sure. Let's assume that the Ayuk situation resolves. I guess they reported, that Pittsburgh offered him less than 28. San Francisco offering him right around 28.
Seemed like it was similar.
Very similar numbers. I guess the attraction, if there is one, is just Tomlin's track record. And a lot of guys like playing for Tomlin.
Nobody's liking what either of the quarterbacks are doing in Pittsburgh, though.
Right.
Ugh.
Whatever the opposite of rave reviews are, terrible reviews, that's what they're saying about Russell Wilson and Justin Fields.
Greg Rosenthal of NFL.com, an NFL daily podcast, has said, the more Commanders coaches talk, the more I wonder if Jahan Dotson is on their week one roster.
I think he's being provocative there.
I think that's crazy talk.
Yeah.
I think he's definitely going to be a part of it.
Yeah.
He still runs excellent routes. He still, by and large, has excellent hands. I just got to figure out. You know, I love when DQ says he wants to find what their special powers are and have them do that.
Yes.
That's his whole thing.
Speaking of DQ.
Yeah, we're going to have the head coach on next. Dan Quinn, Commanders head coach, scheduled to join us next here on the Junkie. Welcome back. Junkies coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond, and we're streaming live all across the country on the Odyssey app. Happy to be joined by the head coach of the Washington Commanders, Dan Quinn, who joins us this morning. What's up, Coach?
Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. Good to be on with you, man.
Good morning,
hey, thank
man.
You. Hey, first of all, let me just tell you something. You know, we had you on earlier, and I know some of the guys met you out at happy hour, you know, some of the other media guys. I got to tell you, and everything's going great. It's exciting. It's such a refreshing, and I'm not asking to say anything negative. It's so exciting to have a guy on the sideline that actually coaches, that's fired up. I mean, we've had guys here that just sit there and they fold their arms. I'm sure they're, you know, great coaches, whatever. I just love your enthusiasm. I love your passion.
You like his coaching style.
I love your style. And I think you're seeing the players emulate that. It's just awesome.
I appreciate it, man. There's some really fun guys to coach on this team. If you were in this locker room and in the meeting rooms every day, often days it's loud and fun and, you know, like we have a good time. We want to make sure, like, we work our asses off and go for it in every way, but really enjoy the people that we do it with, too. So this crew is getting tighter all the time, and I saw that on the sideline the other night when you see somebody make a big play and, you know, 10 guys are running down the sideline to meet him, and that's the type of things that you can see when a team gets connected, when that energy comes from the guys that aren't in the game bringing the energy to guys that are. And I'd hope that would happen, so to see that take place down in Miami made me happy. There was some good hitting, good plays. Just seeing that kind of, you know, connection, it's a big deal.
Coach Quinn, what is it like being the head coach when you have coordinators in place? Last year and much of your career, you've been a coordinator where you're active calling plays on defense. Now you're kind of a delegator. What's it like?
I think what I get a chance to do is I don't really delegate as much as try to make sure I'm present in all the calls, you know, so offense, defense, teams, and then, you know, the replays and game management and timeouts and that kind of stuff. It really allows you to lock in on that. You know, we're going to be a lot of close games this year. We're going to win a lot of close games, and we've got to be really comfortable in those environments. That's why at practice we put our guys into those spots a lot. I think we've done 2 minute or some form of that just about in every practice this season to make sure when those moments come, they feel as normal as, you know, all the other ones. So that's kind of where I try to put most of my focus, just making sure at the most important parts of the game, you know, that I'm able to, you know, deliver onto those what the guys need.
Mm. Coach, so obviously yesterday was a big day. You made it official. I think everybody knew it was coming just by what even we could see, that Jaden was sort of passing every test. You name him the starter. Can you go, first of all, have you seen the clip on Hard Knocks, the off-season edition? I get a kick out of it. I loved it when I saw it, of the Giants when they're sitting around, they're having a meeting. I couldn't believe they put all this stuff on TV, but thank God they did. But Dable's sitting around the table, and the GM
Shane asked him,
he goes, anybody here interested in trading up for Jaden? He goes, Jaden? Yeah. When he said that fired me up so much. What? A, did you see that? And B, just remind us, when did you know you were picking that kid?
I think maybe they caught it on camera, but there are a lot of teams that probably had that conversation. Just the other ones didn't get it onto camera.
Right.
You put the tape on, and I can remember, like, it was the first player that Adam and I watched back in the winter when I got here, and we were through LSU. He even went back to ASU
right.
about the player and showed me a game against Oregon. Like, he was a freshman, so, like, he had had so much work already done on him that it was pretty clear to see how tough he was, you know, the playmaking that he made. Decision. So that was really cool. You're right. You knew this day would happen. I guess what was exciting to see the how. And he has absolutely gone for it, you know, on the details, you know, making sure early to get things right. Oftentimes he'll come in the next day and already have gone through the script, gone through the things that, you know, needed to do. So that part I was really pumped up with, to see the how he would compete for this thing, how he would go after it. And he absolutely, like, just did not stop. And so it was very cool to see he and some of his teammates kind of taking on that mindset. They won't be denied on going for it.
Coach, I know that when you and Adam were watching video of Jaden in college, he did take some big hits. And I know you were perturbed on Saturday when he didn't slide on that 13-yard yeah. run. You were perturbed. Okay, it is. And then yeah. he was asked yesterday, Jaden was asked yesterday, if he's ever practiced sliding. And we kind of dealt with this with RG3 back in the day, too, in 2012, because he didn't slide, and he didn't really, when he tried to slide, he didn't look like he's ever done it before.
He was awkward.
He looked terrible doing it. So do you emphasize in practice? Does he actually practice the slide, or are you just hoping his natural ability and his instinct is going to tell him, all right, I got to get down here?
Yeah, hope is not a good plan, so we don't go with that one.
All right,
for
good,
sure.
Good.
But some QBs are more dive and roll, you know, and so that's kind of what Lamar does. That's what Jaden does. And so not everybody, you know, is leg out, heel behind, slide. Others are, you know, dive. If you're, you know, right-handed quarterback, you know, rolling your left shoulder so you're landed that way.
Right.
So that's, I would say, I don't know, I wouldn't say it's half the league, you know, of the mobile guys are into that, where as opposed to sliding, sometimes you see on the slide, you know, the defender is still there ready to contact. The guy gets hit up top. Mm-hmm. So we do that, you know, more than, you know, the traditional baseball slide. Both of them are ways to what we would call is get down. You know, yeah. that's kind of the term that we use. How do you get down? So, yes, he caught an earful of not getting down into that yeah. space. But it's definitely something that it's important, because if you get the first, you're out to the space, you know, let's fight for the other, you know, 3 or 4 yards on a different down. And it's one that all the guys who have this competitive nature and mobility fight through. But, yeah, we don't want those kind of hits, that's for sure. Some of the ones that you saw, you know, down, you know, in college, he's plenty tough enough. He's proven that. There's no demonstrating needing to establish that. So, yeah, that's something that, you know, needs to be part of what we do. But get down is the term that we use, and, mm-hmm. you know, it's usually a, you know, forward dive and a roll with it.
Coach, even those of us that are just fans, we, you know, we don't get to see him every day. We just seen the you know, bits from the scrimmages, video clips that people are put up, the games, preseason games. It looks like this kid has it all. I mean, he's got the arm talent, the quick release, the knowledge, the demeanor. He's a leader, kind of does it all. Does he have full command already? If you had to play week one right now, could he run Cliff's whole offense right now?
Absolutely. And what we do, we're still kind of in the training camp mode, so we still have 2 more days today and tomorrow that we'll kind of finish up mm-hmm. what we call like our installs. That's like, think about putting in your playbook of how you do that. Then the next week is kind of trimming some of the things down, you know, that feature certain players, certain things. And so that's the process that you go through. But certainly, you know, as you're going through a week, you don't have the whole playbook up. But for him, he really puts it in, man, in terms of the work and the things to go. So we're going to feature the things that, you know, he excels at. He loves, features the offense and the players in their way, but he absolutely is ready to do that. And that's what was cool to see, like, when I was talking about how he would go for it and things like, you know, calls, checking in and out of plays and protections, playing the position well, not just throwing it well. And I think that's kind of what you were alluding to
yeah.
with the comment, that it's the whole playing of the position.
Mm. Coach, how concerned are you with the kicking right now?
It's certainly not where we want it, so that's fair to say.
Yeah.
It's such an important part, you know, in our league, you guys know this, these games come down to the end. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, last year, maybe it was close to like 70% or within one score. And so knowing how important that is such a big deal. So got another week of practice this week, another one next week before we get into the final roster. So we've got work to do to improve on that spot. And that's what we'll dig in on to make sure that we're really, you know, going for it and nailing it in every way. But, you know, still got work to do at that spot and some other ones as well.
I know Riley Patterson hasn't been in the league that long, but just kind of looking at the stats a couple of years ago when he was with Jacksonville, pretty sure.
Yep.
Detroit. His numbers were good. He was 30 for 35. Now, I don't know about, I didn't look at the extra points, but he was 30 for 35. So he obviously was pretty darn consistent. And then it looked like he just had no confidence on Saturday. I know you were talking to him, but
yep.
Is that what it is right now? It's just a confidence thing, or is it technique? What is it?
More technique, I would say, like, because he really had, wish he had been at practice Thursday. He had, like, you know, in our practice against the Dolphins, 6 for 6, and 3 or more were 50. So it felt really good. And then I think on the first one, technical, meaning, okay, you know, plant foot too close to the ball, which makes you hook a little bit. So those are the things that you want to make sure you're working at. You look outside and I see, you know, the person out on the field who's, you know, going through steps, you know, going through the visualization is Riley. So that's really what you're looking for as a coach, to say, hey, these are some things that I have to get fixed and I'll work on it. And I don't know about you, but the people that improve the most are the guys that have the ability to have self-awareness to go correct it. So when somebody knows what went wrong, that's a lot easier to fix. If you ask somebody, what happened? I don't know. Mm-hmm. Then you got more problems. So the fact that he had, you know, a clear, you know, understanding of what he needed to fix and how he needed to, that gives any coach, you know, good insight to say, okay, awareness to get it better and how to do it. But at the end of the day, you know, we are in a performance spot and we got to be able to deliver in that. And that's where we're at heading into this game.
Okay.
Coach, as you process all this, what have you learned about the new kickoff rules and the way it's played out for you in these scrimmages and preseason games or whatever? And then does that have any effect on kicker? Because I'm watching it and, you know, these guys are kicking, I don't know, for lack of a better phrase, like squib kicks or whatever, you know, they're bouncing a bunch of times. And I think I even heard you allude in one of your conferences that as soon as the ball hits the ground, the guys can take off now, right? So that's a different strategy.
That's correct.
Does that make, like, leg strength maybe not quite as important as it has in years past, where you want to have a guy booted 80 yards out of the end zone every time?
Yeah, it's a great question, and one that's been debated all spring around the league, because if you can hit it on the ground, you know, the kicking team can leave earlier. Mm-hmm. It can make it a little more challenging to field, you know, like think of being a shortstop or second baseman. If you get a nice hop, you can throw that guy out. But if that misjudge it and now all of a sudden pop to a second hop and those ones, that can be where it's tough. I think there'll probably be some times where maybe there's a returner or you're at the end of the game where you say, we still want to go kick this out. You know, we would take it at the 30 based on, you know, a game situation or that. So, but you're right. There's an advantage with the kickers that have the ability to hit it into the landing zone, into a certain spot, and that's the area from the 20-yard line down to the goal line. That's what's called the landing zone. Mm-hmm. If you're short of the landing zone, it's the same penalty as kicking it out of bounds. It goes all the way to the 40. So think of it like don't leave a birdie putt short. You know, mm-hmm. You have to hit it into the landing zone. Otherwise, the penalty for that is the return team gets it all the way out at the 40, which is a big deal. Then you're, you know, 20, 25 yards away from potentially a point. So some cool strategies going with it. I like where we're at. Lots of stuff still that we're working through. We've had two practices and two games with it, another one this week. So I think when it gets to the opening weekend, it's going to be kind of wild and kind of fun.
Talking to head coach Dan Quinn from your Washington Commanders. Now, you actually made this kind of a front and center issue last week when you said you're trying to figure out wide receiver number two. Have you gotten closer to figuring it out? What do you see at wide receiver beyond Terry McLaurin?
Yeah, I think there's a really good group of players into that spot. So we don't necessarily call them into, you know, twos and threes, kind of like, you know, in basketball or in fantasy ball or whatever. But it's how do you feature the guys of the things that they can really do well? And that's at tight end and at running back and receiver. So I do like the group. We've got a very competitive group from Olamide and Dotson and JC and Brown, just down the line, you know, Pringle, who's in a new addition. All of them kind of bring some cool different stuff to the team. And that's our job as coaches to make sure that we're putting the guys of the things that they're really, you know, good at, that we can put them in that space to go do it. In other words, if you want to take the top off of defense, you got to put somebody in that can fly. If you want to put somebody that's down in the slot, you got to be able to, you know, be strong enough to break off of leverage off of somebody. And that's where a guy like McCaffrey's got the strength to be inside in the slot to do that, where, you know, bodies are on you and you can make these contested catches. So it just kind of depends how you're going to feature the guys. But Terry is our, you know, X. He's usually to the weak side of the formation. So there's a lot of singles, you know, that can be, you know, to his side. But past that, we're just trying to find the things that the guys do best and then feature them into that way, much like we do at a lot of spots.
Yeah, and I remember when we had you on, as soon as they announced that you were the guy, I started dreaming about what you could maybe do with Jamin. and because of his athleticism. Yep. I remember talking to you about him, and his athletic profile in Micah's is actually not that different. And you have been experimenting with him at pass rush. He's made some plays. Has he shown enough to you where he could have a meaningful role as a pass rusher on this football team?
Yeah, that, because sometimes you even have a vision for him coming out of Kentucky. You know, I saw the speed. I can remember being down with the staff down there and talking through him and some of his teammates during that year's draft class. And so going through it, I thought, there's the speed, there's the quickness. As a pass rusher, you have to be able to beat him to the punch and get off quickly. And he always had that trait. So to get excellent at it, I mean, we knew it would take all the way through training camp to get in the extra work for him to become, where he's at a comfortable level doing it. Now you have the ability then to be, behind the ball, on the end of the line, but you had to go put that work in. Been so impressed, by the way. He's just absolutely gone for it. Spent a lot of time with Ryan Kerrigan and knows a thing or two about pass rush. And so finding those small margins and things that you can do better, James has certainly done that.
Coach, just a couple rapid-fire questions for you at the end, because the last time we had you on was before the draft, and we thought it was a tell. Maybe you can admit whether it was a tell or not. We played word association with you, and we threw out some of the quarterbacks who were drafted. Caleb Williams, you said DC.
Mm-hmm.
Drake May, I believe you said athletic. And then we said Jaden, and you were like, you took a pause and said game changer. We're like, they're drafting Jaden Daniels. All right, so they're just rapid fire.
So what you're telling me is I got no poker game, even on the radio, poker voice and poker face. That's a problem.
I don't know. Do you have a poker game? MGM National Harbor is right down the street.
I do not at all.
All right, I'm curious. Just rapid fire. In a typical week, how many hours are you putting in?
A lot.
Like, when did you get home last night?
Later. And I got up early.
So, all right.
It's not a good model for anybody. So I'm not even going to share it with you.
Right.
When you were at Salisbury with Jason Bishop,
yes, sir.
Were you a secrets guy, a Dewey guy? Like, where would you go?
Ocean City.
Yeah,
Ocean City, OC.
Post game, when you finally get to chill after your first game on Sunday, are you a post-game beer guy, wine guy, cocktail? What do you do?
One guess. That should be fairly easy for you. What would you think?
I would think a beer.
There you go. Easy guess.
And then do you have a family member that you don't necessarily listen to that will give you advice on what to do as a coach?
No, not a family member on that one. It's like being as coach there are junkies that think you know what they should do, family members, friends. But at the end, man, you got to go trust your gut, take all the info, and go let it rip.
Hey, last question for me anyway. I don't know if Jason may have one. Have you decided, like, Jaden's definitely not playing in this week? Have you announced
that? I'm not going to hit on some of the guys this week. We're going to, honestly, like, for 2 days, all I want the guys thinking on is just competing against one another. We're going today, tomorrow. The last two installs, and then we're going to kind of dig into Friday. We'll begin the New England prep. So we kind of want to get a chance to go through the roster. We actually have a personnel meeting this morning. So as we dig into Friday, we'll kind of have some more info about who would play and how much and that kind of stuff.
All right. Okay. That's what I was going to ask, too.
Right.
A non-answer.
Yeah.
We're going to get through it a couple days and then see what we need and, if we think, certain people need certain ones, and that's how we'll do it.
All right. Gotcha. Well, he doesn't need anything. He's good.
Good stuff.
All right, Coach, thank you.
Lots of people, right?
Yeah. Thank you, Coach. Appreciate it so much. We'd like to do
Thanks
it again.
Thanks for the time, buddy.
All right, you got it. Have a great day, guys.
All right, take care. You too. Yep.
It's Coach Dan Quinn, our training camp coverage on 106.7 The Fan, presented by Paul Henry's Window Installation, paulhenryswindows.com, your clear home improvement choice.
I could have talked to him. We all could have talked to him longer, but you don't want to do it too long, and then he's pissed. You know what I'm saying?
And like, he doesn't want to come on
because we won't ever let him go. Yeah. So you just kind of.
I do believe he really likes talking to us, though. So I don't.
He likes talking, I think.
Yeah.
But he's also busy as hell.
You can tell.
When you did the happy hour with the media happy hour, I was in Bahamas. I don't know where EB was. Mm-hmm. You and Cakes went. How much time did you spend talking to him?
I probably talked to him for 10 minutes.
Oh, really?
I think I talked to Peters longer.
That's some good stuff.
Because Dan was bound. I talked to Dan before, right when he came into the restaurant. And once he got into the actual side room, the party room where all the media was, he was bouncing around. So I didn't really talk to him then. I talked to him before he went
Let
in.
Let me ask you.
But Peters, yes. I talked to Peters more.
You asked both guys what neighborhood they're looking at. How big is the house going to be?
I asked Dan that. I think I already knew where Adam lived because one of the PR guys told me. But, yeah, of course.
That's your thing.
I didn't want to talk, you know.
You're not going to ask
a lot of football.
Right. You're not going to ask him, are you planning to do cover three?
Yeah, I'm not going to ask him that.
Right.
I just wanted to kind of talk about life.
Right.
And, you know, Peters was talking about his kids a lot. I figure if these guys are coming in to talk to the media, the last thing they really want to talk about is football.
Probably.
But they're kind of prepared to talk
about
football.
They're prepared, but
I'm sure there was a ton of reporters.
That kind of bored me, so I wanted to talk about it.
Listen, I'm not suggesting you have to talk about football, but I just knew you would somehow be in their pockets. I just knew that would be a part of it.
I don't know if I was in their pockets, but I think they enjoyed my questions more than a lot of other guys, put it that way.
Mm. All right, fair.
Very cool. That was Dan Quinn, your Commanders head coach. A little bit later, we're going to have Chick Hernandez, who's been calling the games, WSA sports director and anchor. He will join us at 9 o'clock here on the Junk. I got to say, I really like Dan Quinn. I just want to offer one warning. We've liked a lot of coaches over the years. He's up there with the most likable, say.
I mean, look, it all comes down to winning.
Super likable. Ron Rivera, the first couple times he came on the show with us, likable. It's all about the results in the end. And hopefully Dan Quinn and his staff will be able to deliver results.
But I tell you, for this group, I'm thrilled that he's our guy. And then, you know, until proven otherwise and we're just awful, then, you know, we'll move on. But for right now, for this time, coming off what we just had, he's the perfect tonic. I don't know that I want that nerd from Detroit who's the genius, X and O's guy. I'm sure Cliff Kingsbury's smart enough to handle
Ben Johnson.
Office. Yeah. This guy, his demeanor, his enthusiasm, that's what I need. I like coaches like
that. I don't think we're going to ever kill Dan Quinn and his staff and say they were the worst coaching staff in the league.
Like the previous one.
Like we did the last 4 years.
I don't think so. I'm just saying when we started off our relationship with Ron Rivera, it was very good and we liked him a lot.
Well, Ron's a likable guy as a person.
You met him in person. I met him in person.
Yeah, but he got to be tedious on air even, and we did him for a couple of years.
Yeah, he wasn't great with the media.
I mean, he told us that he didn't know the commander's name.
Yeah.
Correct.
I mean, literally it just turned, lied.
But a lot of times it turns because of the results.
Well, of course.
That's what it
never really turned for us with any of the Caps coaches. We've had great, we've liked all those guys.
Well, they've been good.
Yeah, but the only one of them won a championship. And, you know, they end up moving on. But
some after 2 years.
Those relationships have all been good.
But I just don't think we're going to look back ever and just kill Quinn and his staff and say, well, they've effed this whole thing up and
maybe
kill Peters for a person. I don't think we're going to do that.
Yeah.
And then Quinn's got a piece in Daniels that those other coaches really didn't have.
For sure.
I mean, we'll see about that.
I want to know if he gets after it in the weight room. Or is that an area maybe where he's just not as big into it. Like, he'll do whatever they ask him. I'm curious. Jaden is who I'm talking about.
I don't know. Okay.
I'm going to guess he
just goes through the
motion.
He does what he asks, but he's not like a guy that loves it.
I think it's been proven by even Patrick Mahomes that you don't need to have like some sort of sculpted
body. Just to get bigger. Not to be sculpted. You don't have to be ripped.
It's rare that you have a Will Levis type or some of these guys or Anthony Richardson. That you got a lot of quarterbacks that have pot bellies, a lot of quarterbacks that look super skinny.
I'm not asking him to be Mr. Olympia.
Yeah.
Just, you know, put some weight on you.
Well,
you know, eat Twinkies.
He did put some weight on from.
He said a little bit, yeah.
From the end of the college season to the draft, he put some weight on.
I don't see his frame that different than Tom Brady. The difference in Tom Brady is he's just taller.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like Tom Brady was.
But Brady didn't expose himself like he will.
Correct. And look, Lamar Jackson this year, Valdez, you could speak on this. I believe he said that
he wanted
to lose weight.
Yeah, to get quicker, I think, right? I think so. But Lamar's got a bigger frame than Jaden does. His frame is naturally a little bit bigger.
I don't know if he was like that when he came into the league.
He put on a lot of weight last season and then took like 30 pounds off this season.
Yeah. How is he back 100%? Like, is he rolling?
What?
Lamar? I have no idea. I'm not following him.
What do you mean?
Bad. Well, you know how he was sick early? You know, he's always sick at the beginning of training camp.
He's fine. I'm sure
he didn't have any
now.
Other things that he's nursing, right?
No.
Okay.
No.
I'm just curious. I'm not paying attention. Just asking. Was that a bad question?
Well, it sounded like you thought like he was out for the season.
No, I didn't think that at all. But no. I just want to make sure he's not nursing anything or, you know, like Geno or anything like that.
No.
Yeah. So last night I sent a Venmo of $100 to Jason. Because he's running a survivor pool and he's raised the stakes. And I was going to do two entries, but which would be one for me.
Not an NFL pool, it's a college pool.
Right. And one for Dylan. But I think maybe we're just going to combine it because it's $100. It's
a lot. So I can cross him off the
list.
I'm
not positive. I'm going to talk to him about it. You have
another chance. You got a better chance. You guys could pick, you know, be smart, be savvy.
That's true. But I think there's 50 entries.
Still, even more reason.
Might be more than that now.
Does anybody have multiple entries?
No.
Winner take all? Is that how it works?
Yeah. Well, there's a side pot too, but it's winner take all.
What's the side? How does the side pot work in a survivor?
It's too hard to explain.
Too complicated? Okay.
I mean, you wouldn't care. I can explain it to you during the break.
But last year on this show, we did a collective survivor pool.
Yes. NFL
now,
survivor pool.
Remind me, we got bounced out in like week one or two.
Mm-hmm.
That was because this was the Circa pool, which we started, right? We put big money into Circa.
I can't remember what
Then we got bounced out in like week two. I believe the boys behind the glass had an entry. They lost in like week one. We lost
We went longer than week one or two.
You guys think okay. went to week five.
It was very early in the season. You guys got bounced out. We got bounced out.
Right.
Then we found like a replacement pool.
We only lasted a few weeks with that.
Should we do Circa again, which was $1,000?
I would be up for it, but isn't that a pain in the ass to get all that going? Or do you still have the contact where we can make that happen?
I still have the contact. The thing is that we have to. I got to send this person money.
Yeah.
To do it like in person at the Westgate.
Yeah.
And then I have
to Venmo them money.
Yes, that would work. Yeah, that would work. And then we need the proxy, and I have the proxies, all info and everything. So,
I'm up for doing it. What I would just put each of us would put up $250. I'm up for it. It was a fun sweat.
I would do it. I know we're not going to win.
I mean, there are other pools that are smaller where you don't have to put up $250 that you can do.
Yeah, but the payout's huge. What was the payout?
You got a better chance hitting the Powerball than hitting the payout.
But didn't Skippy get close a couple years ago?
$10 million.
He wasn't that close. He was down to I think there were.
We were talking about Skippy's plays like every
160
week.
People maybe, but that's a ton of people to beat out.
Yeah, well, you could also sell your slip. Right?
Yeah, you could sell your stake in it.
Well, you could if you got lucky and you
so
go
hold on.
Further.
So you're out on it. You don't really
no,
want to do it.
No, I'm fine with it. It's just there are smaller ones with less people that you got a better chance of winning.
Well, yeah,
I understand that the Circa is a draw because of the payout, but you ain't winning $10 million.
Well, what if we just include you guys? So it's not.
How are we going to decide our picks? Are we going to do the vote?
The arguing thing.
Yeah. That was the key to a lot of the success of it. Is that you guys going back and forth and having to pick?
Yeah, but you should be involved in it. The arguing too.
We might have our own team. I don't know. We're kind of going off what your guys' vibe is here.
I thought it was fun too. The only thing that sucked is that we ended up losing early. I can't even remember what the pick was. I believe it was a split that time, and then it's weird, like with us, I don't even remember what the rule was when it was a split 2-2. Did we do like a revote?
I think you guys looked at your paper and you saw who was the
number
one.
Oh, that's right.
Who
we did it by ranking. Yeah, we did it by ranking.
Yeah.
Rank choice or whatever.
We can figure that part out, but I think last year.
Did we each donate $250?
Yes.
Yep. Yeah.
God, that is a big donation. It's a big donation.
It's an investment, maybe.
What about the guy who. The pool we got into after we were after we lost. And
yeah,
we were
so
out of the circuit.
That's also an option. That is he's looking. That's $110 per team.
Yeah, how many guys are in that one?
He's aiming for 3,000, so that would be a $300,000 payout.
I mean, that's
but it's a lot more. Probably it's a lot of players. 3,000 people is a lot of people.
It's easier to beat 800-900 players than it is to beat 3,000.
I would vote right now to do the circuit one again. I think it's just a bigger appeal. It was fun for the show.
That's fine.
We just got to hit some picks early. It'll suck if we're out in week three or four again.
Yes, it would be.
Well, it's impossible.
I'm fine with it.
That's the only thing. It is a fun bit. It's fun to argue, and it's fun to watch it play out, but it's impossible to pick these games week to week.
Correct.
Maybe we got too cute last year.
I don't remember.
Because you kind of want to save teams sometimes.
Yeah, well, yeah. All right, so why don't you investigate, Valdez?
I can't remember how we lost last year. I think JP and I wanted to take Seattle at home. And I can't remember who they were playing, but and then we ended up going with the other pick, and I can't remember who we lost with. But that's going to be the issue.
Yep.
Is if, let's say, Cakes and I want, you know, Baltimore 1 week, and you guys were kind of outvoted based on ranking, and we take the Texans, and they lose. Well, I'm going to be salty at you.
That's the deal.
I think it was a Ravens game. The Ravens, it was like everyone's second choice or something like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they ended up botching it.
Did they lose to the Colts at home last year?
Yeah, probably.
22-19.
That's what it was. That's what we lost on. Right?
Zay Flowers like dropped a ball over the middle or something. Easy. Should have won the game.
That's what it was. And then the same week, I think Seattle won. And that was the
goal. Yeah. Whatever. I got to say, I really like Dan Quinn. I just want to offer one warning. We've liked a lot of coaches over the years. He's up there with the most likable, I will say.
I mean, look, it all comes down to winning.
Super likable. Ron Rivera, the first couple times he came on the show with us, likable. It's all about the results in the end. And hopefully Dan Quinn and his staff will be able to deliver results.
But I tell you, for this group, I'm thrilled that he's our guy. And then, you know, until proven otherwise and we're just awful, then, you know, we'll move on. But for right now, for this time, coming off what we just had, he's the perfect tonic. I don't know that I want that nerd from Detroit who's the genius, X and O's guy. I'm sure Cliff Kingsbury's smart enough to handle
Ben Johnson.
Office. Yeah. This guy, his demeanor, his enthusiasm, that's what I need. I like coaches like
that. Yeah, I don't think we're going to ever kill Dan Quinn and his staff and say they were the worst coaching staff in the league.
Like the previous one.
Like we did the last 4 years.
I don't think so. I'm just saying when we started off our relationship with Ron Rivera, sure, it was very good and we liked him a lot.
Well, Ron's a likable guy as a person.
You met him in person. I met him
in person. Yeah, but he got to be tedious on air even, and we did him for a couple years.
He wasn't great with the media.
I mean, he told us that he didn't know the commander's name.
Yeah.
Correct.
I mean, literally it just lied.
But a lot of times it turns because of the results.
Of course.
That's what it usually comes down to.
Really turned for us with any of the Caps coaches. We've had great, we've liked all those guys.
Well, they've been good.
Yeah, but only one of them won a championship. And, you know, they end up moving on. But
some after 2 years.
Those relationships have all been good.
But I just don't think we're going to look back ever and just kill Quinn and his staff and say, well, they've effed this whole thing up and
maybe
kill Peters for a person. I don't think we're going to do that.
Yeah.
And then Quinn's got a piece in Daniels that those other coaches really didn't have.
For sure.
I mean, we'll see about that.
I want to know if he gets after it in the weight room, or is that an area maybe where he's just not as big into it? Like, he'll do whatever they ask him. I'm curious. Jaden is who I'm talking about.
I don't know. Okay.
I'm going to guess he
just goes through the motion. He does what he asks, but he's not like a guy that loves it.
I think it's been proven by Patrick Mahomes that you don't need to have some sort of sculpted
body. Just to get bigger,
like,
not to be sculpted. You don't have to be ripped.
It's rare that you have a Will Levis type or some of these guys or Anthony Richardson. That you got a lot of quarterbacks that have pot bellies, a lot of quarterbacks that look like super skinny.
I'm not asking him to be Mr. Olympia.
Yeah.
Just, you know, put some weight on you.
Well,
you eat Twinkies.
He did put some weight on from...
He said a little bit, yeah.
From the end of the college season to the draft, he put some weight on.
I don't see his frame that different than Tom Brady. The difference in Tom Brady is he's just taller.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably true. Not like Tom Brady was
thick. Tom Brady didn't expose himself like he will.
Correct. And look, Lamar Jackson this year, Valdez, you could speak on this. I believe he said that
he wanted
to lose weight.
Yeah, to get quicker, I think, right? I think so. But Lamar's got a bigger frame than Jaden does. His frame is naturally a little bit bigger.
I don't know if he was like that when he came into the league.
He put on a lot of weight last season and then took like 30 pounds off this season.
Yeah. Is he back 100%? Like, is he rolling?
What?
Lamar? I have no idea. I'm not following him.
What do you mean?
Bad. Well, you know how he was sick early? You know, he's always sick at the beginning of training camp.
He's fine. I'm sure
he didn't
he's
have
fine
any
now
other things that he's nursing, right?
No.
Okay.
No.
I'm just curious. I'm not paying attention. Just asking. Was that a bad question?
Well, it sounded like you thought like he was injured. Out for the season.
No, I didn't think that at all. But no. I just want to make sure he's not nursing anything or, you know, like Geno or anything like that.
No.
Yeah. So last night I sent a Venmo of $100 to Jason because he's running a Survivor pool and he's raised the stakes. And I was going to do two entries, but I was going to be one for me.
Not an NFL pool. It's a college pool.
Right. And one for Dylan. But I think maybe we're just going to combine it because it's $100. It's
a
lot.
So I can cross him off the
list.
I'm
not positive. I'm going to talk to him about it. You have if he's passionate.
Another chance. You got a better chance. You guys could pick, you know, be smart, be savvy.
That's true. But I think there's 50 entries.
Still, even more reason.
Might be more than that now.
Does anybody have multiple entries?
No.
Winner take all? Is that how it works?
Yeah. Well, there's a side pot too, but it's winner take all.
What's the side? How does the side pot work in a Survivor?
It's too hard to explain.
Too complicated. Okay.
I mean, you wouldn't care. I can explain it to you during the break.
But last year on this show, we did a collective Survivor pool.
Yes, NFL
now,
Survivor pool.
Remind me, we got bounced out in like week one or two.
Mm-hmm.
That was because this was the Circa pool, which we started. Right, we put big money into Circa.
I can't remember what.
Then we got bounced out in like week two, I believe. The boys behind the glass had an entry. They lost in like week one. We lost
we went longer than week one or two.
You guys think okay. went yeah. to week five.
It was very early in the season. You guys got bounced out.
All right.
Then we found like a replacement pool.
We only lasted a few weeks with that.
Should we do really Circa again, which was $1,000?
I would be up for it, but isn't that a pain in the ass to get all that going? Or do you still have the contact where we can make
that
happen?
I still have the contact. The thing is that we have to. I got to send this person money.
Yeah.
To do it, like in person at the Westgate.
Yeah.
And then I have
to Venmo them money.
Yes, that would work. Yeah, that would work. And then we need the proxy, and I have the proxies, all info and everything. So
I'm up for doing it. What I would just put each of us would put up $250. I'm up for it. It was a fun sweat.
I would do it. I know we're not going to win.
I mean, there are other pools that are smaller where you don't have to put up $250 that you can do.
Yeah, but the payout's huge. Yeah, what was the payout?
You got a better chance hitting the Powerball than hitting the payout.
But didn't Skippy get close a couple years ago?
$10 million this
year. He wasn't
that
close. He was down to, I think there were...
We were talking about Skippy's plays like every
160
week.
People maybe. But that's a ton of people to beat out.
Yeah, but you could also sell your slip. Right?
Yeah, you could sell your stake in it.
Well, you could if you get lucky and you
so,
go
hold on,
further.
So you're out on it? You don't really
no,
want to
No, I'm fine with it. It's just there are smaller ones with less people that you got a better chance of winning.
Well, yeah.
I understand that the Circa is a draw because of the payout, but you may win $10
million. Well, what if we just include you guys? So it's not.
How are we going to decide our picks? Are we going to do the vote?
The arguing thing.
Yeah. That was the key to a lot of the success of it, is that you guys going back and forth and having to pick.
Yeah, but you should be involved in it, the arguing too.
We might have our own team. I don't know. We're kind of going off what your guys' vibe is here.
I
what
like
if you guys
it.
Are in, then
I thought
we'll
it
probably
was fun.
Do too.
The only thing that sucked is that we ended up losing early. I can't even remember what the pick was. I believe it was a split that time. And then it's weird, like with us, I don't even remember what the rule was when it was a split 2-2. Did we do like a revote?
I think you guys looked at your paper and you saw who was the
oh, that's right.
One.
We did it by ranking. Rank choice or whatever.
We can figure that part out, but I think last year.
Did we each donate $250?
Yes.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
God, that is a big donation. It's a big donation.
It's an investment, maybe.
What about the guy who... The pool we got into after we were after we lost, and
yeah.
We were
so
out of the circuit.
That's also an option. That is he's looking. That's $110 per team.
Yeah, how many guys are in that one?
He's aiming for 3,000, so that would be a $300,000 payout.
I mean, that's
but it's a lot more. Probably, you know, it's a lot of players. 3,000 people is a lot of people.
It's easier to beat 800, 900 players than it is to beat 3,000.
I would vote right now to do the circle one again. I think it's just a bigger appeal. It was fun for the show.
That's fine.
We just got to hit some picks early. It'll suck if we're out in week three or four again.
Yes, it would be.
Well, it's impossible.
I'm fine
with it. That's the only thing. It is a fun bit. It's fun to argue, and it's fun to watch it play out, but it's impossible to pick these games week to week.
Correct.
Maybe we got too cute last year.
I don't remember.
Because you kind of want to save teams sometimes.
Yeah, well, yeah. All right, so why don't you investigate, Valdez?
I can't remember how we lost last year. I think JP and I wanted to take Seattle at home. And I can't remember who they were playing, but and then we ended up going with the other pick, and I can't remember who we lost with. But that's going to be the issue.
Yep.
Is if, let's say, Cakes and I want, you know, Baltimore one week, and you guys were kind of outvoted based on ranking, and we take the Texans and they lose, I'm going to be salty at you.
Yeah, that's the deal.
I think it was a Ravens game. The Ravens, it was like everyone's second choice or something like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they ended up botching it.
Did they lose to the Colts at home last year?
That was
22-19.
Yeah.
That's what it was. That's what we lost on. Right?
Zay Flowers like dropped a ball over the middle or something. Easy. Should have won the game.
That's what it was. And then the same week, I think Seattle won, and that was the goal.
Yeah, yeah. Whatever. It's going to happen.
I'm just going to be bitter.
If we lose, which is likely, somebody's going to have to pick something
likely?
Else.
It's 100% chance we're going to lose.
We can go to run, Jason.
No. But I'll do it because I like the sweat.
You guys got bitter if I threatened to sell part of my action, though, right? That pissed you off last year.
I did get a little bitter, but I guess I don't know.
What's the difference? I'm still going to be vociferous.
Yeah, I mean, you proved your point last year that you take it seriously.
Yeah,
so.
I took it seriously. I can't even remember if I did.
I mean, you wouldn't even know if you missed the $250 was gone from your bank account.
That's you don't even know where the like, money's coming in and going out.
Just tell Dina. Yeah. Send the boys $250.
No, what I would do is I would just Venmo.
Yeah, tell your accountant. Yeah.
I would just Venmo you. But that's my slush. That's my only real slush fund is my Venmo. But
just let me know if I got to go to the ATM today.
All right, are we in?
I'm in.
Cakes is always in. I think he said beforehand if we were doing it, he's in.
Yeah, because I'm surprised we haven't talked about it. You still think there's time to get it together?
Definitely.
Okay.
Just... Yeah, send me the money today or tomorrow.
All right.
And then we'll have it done by this week.
Man, I've had a lot of Venmo transactions. Sent you 100. We got a college fantasy thing tomorrow.
All right. Mm-hmm. So it's official. We'll be in. We can't miss, though. I mean, not early. Like we
Right. We want to sweat.
Week one loss is humiliating.
All right. Got to take a break. If you want to chime in throughout the show, you can always hit us up on the MGM National Harbor listener line at 800-636-1067. We're the Junkies. Be right back.